So I planned on doing something a little differently for this episode, but as I was doing my planning for the episode, I started to want to go in another direction. And, I just don't know if that's just my CTE, ADD, whatever. But I wanted to try to hone in on one, but I'm really intrigued by the other direction. And in going in that direction, I would need to, or it would be better received if I were to do some type of rebrand. I've been saying rebrand a lot, and actually, I really don't want to call it a rebrand. I think we should call it evolution. We're evolving. We're evolving. And in the manner, I'll be open with y'all since this is the pod, and if you're paying attention, things that you'll see that I'm putting out in the future will maybe make a little bit more sense. I understand, obviously, the openness and the truths that I like to share are not well received and not the main agenda or narrative. And because of that, well, you're easily, quickly turned off. And that's the problem. Like, I actually like to indulge in things that I disagree with. Just so I can see the other side and actually try to understand. So I know the things that I say would be much better received if they were in a different type of packaging. So within that packaging, this actually, we meet the issue with what it is that I wanted to talk about today, but I'm actually going to do a little bit more planning and prep for that one. Because I think that's an interesting conversation that can be had. But within that, I basically have to lie. I don't really like lying about something that we all know and agree and believe to be true. Like, I don't, like, unless it's just clearly not true, like, I don't like it. Like, we're all a little racist. We're all a little sexist. We're all a little misogynist. Well, men. We're all like we and women. They're all a little misandrist, more than a little. But we don't acknowledge that that even exists. Like, we all have these things within us. This is the way humans have been forever. This is why historically, whenever fucking somebody that looked different from you, it. You saw them as a threat because you have never seen them before. It's like encountering a lion for the first time. Like, you're encountering what appears to be a human, but they look different from you. For all we know, these niggas thought that they were fucking aliens. Like, oh, and speaking of which, this whole secret invasion shit in Marvel, that's they telling us shit straight to our face. Like, it's problematic. But having to not be to, that's what the 90s was, and unfortunately, we were too young to appreciate it, but that's essentially what the 90s and before was. It was okay to be genuine. It was okay to be authentic. But nowadays you have to repress, well, depending on the levels, but in general you have to repress your true thoughts and feelings if you want to advance. It's very upsetting that it's that way, but there's that's. I want to talk about that and also how it goes into personal relationships because let's save it. Let's save it. I'll save it because I really do want to talk about that. So I guess we'll just get to sports bullshit, and then I want to talk about Elon Musk and well, there's always shit you can talk about with Elon, so we're just going to talk about Elon. But first, good news. I thought that I had lost all of the data. I've been having some serious technical issues, having some verbal issues as well. I've been having some technical issues this past week, and I thought that I lost all of my data and all of my research from that whole Goat Index thing that I was telling y'all about. Well, that's what I call the file or whatever. I don't know what I'm called this whole thing. But anyway, that's I thought I lost it and I was very hurt, very, very hurt. But I was able to retrieve it, thank God. So last time I believe I said I was going to talk about the greatest rookie seasons in NBA history, again, based on the criteria. Oh fuck, you need a reminder of the criteria. Let me find it. No, I'm not going to find it. It'll be in the description. It's the exact same one that we had
last time I did this. So, yeah. So now I'm going to talk about the top 10 rookie seasons based off of my criteria in NBA history. And we're going to notice a trend. First off, we have Moses Malone, who was, I'm pretty sure, the first high school to NBA or high school to professional in basketball. I'm pretty sure he went to the ABA first, but I don't think anybody in the NBA before him. I'm pretty sure Moses Malone was the first high school to professional, but it was the ABA. So do with that what you will. I did give guys that started their careers in the ABA, like I just treated it as if it was NBA because they have pretty much the same. Like they had an All-Star game, they had a championship, they had a finals. Like it's the exact same thing. So if you have an issue with the ABA league, I mean, well, I don't know shit about the ABA league except for some of the teams that were in it. So hey, whatever. Anyway, Moses Malone. In his rookie year, was an all-star, averaged 19 points per game, 15 rebounds per game. He's one of the best rebounders in NBA history, and 2 blocks a game. And again, like I mentioned, he was the first high school to professional athlete, and he graded out that season at, if you remember how, you know, other guys did and the thing we did, so just for context, 20 was obviously like the benchmark of like, you know, basically greatness. But Moses Malone that season graded out at 12.5. And mind you, I looked at everybody, like at all the people, like I got like 50, 60 people within like that I've done this with for their entire season. So guys, for as great as we think guys came into the league and obviously, you know, impact and what you saw and everything, like this is just my little old criteria of things that all these guys have in common that they had the opportunity to compete for, like, you know, probably like the clearest way to do this as far as I'm concerned that anybody's ever done, but and objective and biased, but you know, whatever. At nine, Shaq, his rookie year graded out at 14.5. He was all-star, he was the rookie of the year, averaged 23 points per game, 14 rebounds per game, and 4 blocks a game. Again, I never saw Shaq as a defender. I guess that just tells you how great the bigs were in the league. I mean, obviously Hakeem, Patrick Ewing, you know, guys like that. Like, yeah, I understand they were great, but Shaq was obviously great. He just wasn't the benchmark for defense. He wasn't doing it like that on defense. Like, not for real, not the way. If he was the most dominant, this is the part that y'all not gonna understand because y'all is simple. If Shaq took, let's say Shaq, I'll be fair. I think Shaq's focus on the game was, I think during that Lakers years, 75% offense, 25% defense. Could we agree that's fair? Do we think? I think that's honestly giving him much more credit on the defensive end. But let's say 25%. If Shaq decided to, like, hey, he averaged 30, like, he was dominant, he was doing his thing. If he would average, like, 25 to 28 and focus just a little bit more on defense, the Lakers would have been the one seed more often. They would have had more success. They probably would have won a couple. They probably wouldn't have lost the Spurs in 03. So that's possible four-peat. Now, the Pistons, they was nice. But, you know, maybe they don't fuck up the chemistry by bringing in Gary Payton and Karl Malone because they just lost earlier in the playoffs. Maybe, you know, Shaq has an actual team mentality trying to play defense and do whatever it takes to make the team better. And then, obviously, Kobe is Kobe. Like, if you ask me in my opinion, I would say Kobe. I'd say 60-40, 65-35, offense, defense. But just look how much that little, like, if they both, obviously Kobe did more because he had to. He was seeing all-star Hall of Fame guards nightly. Shaq, it wasn't every night that he was seeing a big that was worth his time. So, yeah, it's kind of easier to do what he did. But anyway, Shaq, my fault. This ain't Kobe and Shaq. oh, my God. Anyway, so back to what we were doing here. At number eight, we have a tie, and I actually did the work this time. So, yeah. Both of these guys graded out at 16.5, and this is Hakeem and Magic. And these are their rookie years. Now, Hakeem's rookie year. He was an all-star. He was All-NBA defensive second team, averaged 21 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 3 blocks. And again, he was in the same draft as Michael Jordan. So, like, you know, he went number one that draft. So, like, unfortunately, he couldn't add Rookie of the Year to what he did. But, you know, he's pretty fucking good. And he graded him and Magic Johnson tied. Magic Johnson's rookie season. If you don't remember Magic, well, obviously we don't live it, but I mean, you're probably familiar, especially if you watch Showtime, or what was it? Winning Time. I don't know why I call it shit fucking Dave. Showtime. Winning Time. So Magic Johnson won a championship, was the finals MVP, obviously won a conference championship to get to the finals, was an all-star, averaged 18 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, 7 assists per game, and 2 steals per game. So championship and finals MVP and still tied with Hakeem. So, I mean, yeah, if you want to, like, split hairs between the two, sure, we'll have to probably more than likely give it to Magic Johnson. But I'm just saying, objectively, if objectively. And this would obviously look completely different if I didn't include the stats. Like, if it was just the achievements, then, yeah. But I decided to add the stats because, you know, I guess they are a component that, you know, benefits some people much more than others, but they do benefit, so whatever. At 7, at just half a point ahead of both of them, was Bill Russell. Bill Russell graded out at 17. He was a champion. Obviously, he was a conference champion because he was a champion. Averaged 15 points per game and 20 rebounds per game. And one thing that sucks for Mr. Russell is they did not count blocks and steals as stats back then. So, yeah. That sucks. It was a different time. In 2040, they're going to be arguing about guys that got conference finals MVP. We think it's stupid today. Well, this is what we created. At 6, we have another tie. Michael Jordan's rookie year and Larry Bird's rookie year. And remember, Larry Bird and Magic are both in the same class. So, and he won a championship and finals MVP. I'm just saying. But obviously the thing that separated the two, spoiler alert, was the rookie of the year that Larry got. But anyway, because he graded out literally 1 point ahead. But Michael and Larry tied at 6. Larry Bird was an all-star, All-NBA second team out the gate, rookie of the year, averaged 28 points. Correction, this is Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was an all-star, All-NBA second team, rookie of the year, averaged 28 points per game, 7 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game, and 2 steals per game. So, yeah, came out the game on some fucking prom Dwayne Wade shit. Larry Bird was an all-star, All-NBA first team out the gate, rookie of the year, 21 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, 5 assists per game, and 2 steals per game. So Larry came in nice too. I mean, he wasn't scoring like Jordan, but, you know, racism. At 5, we have another and our last tie of this whole bit. Oscar Robertson and Dr. J, and again, Dr. J's rookie year was in the ABA. But Oscar, and they both graded out at 20, so now we're getting a little bit of separation. Oscar's rookie year, he was an all-star. He was all-star MVP. He's all-NBA first team. He was rookie of the year. He led the league in assist, and he averaged a triple-double his first year, if you round, which I do for when I'm doing this discussion. But obviously, he had the real year where he actually averaged it. But he averaged 31 points per game, 10 assists per game, and 10 rebounds per game as a rookie. Holy shit. And Dr. J, as a rookie in the ABA, was an all-star, ABA second team, averaged 27 points per game, 16 rebounds per game, and 4 assists. So, yeah, okay. Now, it's kind of not fair because bigs have a much easier opportunity to grade out well, and especially with the way the game was played, free, I guess, Magic? Maybe. We'll just say the 80s. Yeah, Magic, Isaiah, and all that. Yeah, we'll say the 80s, whatever. Even though the game was still. Because, I mean, there were great bigs, but the teams that are winning championship, well, they did have Kareem. At 4, we have Tim Duncan, who graded out half a point ahead of both of them. And Tim Duncan, he came into the league on some shit. He was an all-star and was All-NBA first team as a fucking rookie.
Like,
Victor, the bar is up here. This dude was an All-NBA first team as a rookie. Now, granted, Tim did have 4 years of college. So, you know, that is different. But Victor has been playing professionally for at least 2 years. Whatever. All-NBA first team. He was also All-NBA defensive second team. Clearly the rookie of the year. Averaged 21 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 3 blocks. So what's actually really kind of fucked up is Shaq had better numbers. But obviously Tim Duncan was on a better team, so, you know, they won more games. So win more games, you have the opportunity to get better accolades. So first team and everything. So, yeah, this is why, you know, even there's flaws with the accolades, but, you know, it is what it is. This is what stands the test of time. This is what, when in 2096, they're going to be like, who is Larry Bird? Well, they're probably not going to be looking up Larry Bird. Who was DeMar DeRozan? And they're going to see, like, no matter how good we are, who's Paul George? No matter how good or nice we think, hey, Brandon Miller, like, that's your GOAT. Cool. We're going to look and see 6 All-Stars, no championship as of right now. Like, we're going to see a pretty thin All-NBA second team. Like, I think he had that 1 year first team, but it's going to look pretty fucking thin. And then think about what the narrative is about Russell Westbrook today. Well, 2075, they're going to Google and be like, oh, shit. Okay, well, I mean, I guess he didn't win a championship, but shit, this dude was, you know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, unless everybody's having triple-doubles by then, like, I mean, we'll see. But this is what stands the test of time. This is what's going to live. Who was MVP in 2007? Who was MVP in 2002? Like, hey, it is what it is. Who won the championship? You can't take it away from him. Can't take it away from him. And at 3, another fucking Spur. Graded out 1 point ahead because of the IBM. David Robinson. Who's All-Star, All-NBA third team, All-Defensive second team, IBM, like I mentioned, Rookie of the Year. Averaged 24 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, 2 steals per game, and 4 blocks. So, yeah, like, objectively better than Shaq. And then also, like, David Robinson, like, he came into the league on some 20 shit, and he just kind of did that for the first, like, 5-6 years of his career. Like, David Robinson was really, 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 really nice. Like, the David Robinson that I watched was, like, mid, but well, he was mid, but because I was just basing it off of what I was hearing, like, childhood me was like, oh, he's all heaven. But I mean, now I'm looking back and seeing, like, and remembering, like, nah, Kobe was really fucking them niggas up. And if Kobe was doing it at 6'6, then, like, obviously Shaq's numbers make sense. But I'm just saying, David Robinson, now at 2, knows. Shocker, we have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar with 23.5. He's an All-Star, All-NBA second team, All-NBA defensive second team, Rookie of the Year, and averaged 29 points per game and 15 rebounds per game. And we have the cheat code, Will Chamberlain, with 37.5 as a rookie. That's higher than any of Michael Jordan's seasons, I'm pretty sure. 37.5. MVP as a rookie. All-Star, All-Star Game MVP, All-NBA First Team, Rookie of the Year, Scoring Champ, Rebounding Champ, averaged 38 points per game and 27 rebounds per game. That's neither. I would never have Will Chamberlain on any of these lists either. But, you know, we can't just be like, oh, well, this guy is averaging this 30.7 rebound. Like, we can't be like what these guys are doing today. Like, look at Jokic's numbers. We can't be sucking Jokic's ditch and then not fucking acknowledge what Will Chamberlain did. We can't. Regardless of what we think or how we feel about his competition or whatever, like, in 30, 40 years, they're going to be looking at these niggas like, In 30 years, like, there's going to be somebody that shoots better than Steph. Like, there's going to be somebody. It might not even be 30. There's going to be somebody that shoots better than Steph. We can't even comprehend that right now. There's going to be somebody that's eventually, one day, unanimously better than anybody you consider the GOAT right now. It's going to happen. Whatever. Will Chamberlain, 37.5.
Since we're still on the sports bullshit, I guess I'll go ahead and talk about this Chris Paul trade, since I'm not going to have my real episode right now. This might be another 2 for a week. Oh, well. Might be a 3 for
Depends on if Jeff is able to figure it out. Depends on if Jeff is able to figure it out. It is rather interesting. Rather interesting to see people come from the same place and be very different, but at the same time the same. I guess the being the same makes sense, but whatever. Anyway, Chris Paul is as of right now, he's a Golden State Warrior. Now, it's no secret that I'm not a fan of Chris Paul. I hate Chris Paul, really fucking do. There was a Nexus moment that was December 8th, I believe, 2011, where it could have been something. It could have been something. I was very excited. I understood Chris Paul's potential. I saw what he had became. He was arguably the best point guard in the league at that time. Kobe's best point guard ever has been Derek fucking Fisher. Like, I was happy for Ramon Sessions and Steve Blake. So I'm to the fucking moon on Chris Paul. And the NBA did that shit, and it is never the same. It's been fuck Chris Paul ever since. Well, obviously, they needed to do something with the whole Jordan Poole, Draymond Green situation. Obviously, Cameron and Mace is expert journalism has allegedly given us what led up to the situation. I'll let you look into that. But Draymond and Jordan Poole, somehow that situation needed to be fixed. I was of the mindset that, you know, let Draymond do whatever he wants to do, man. Like, hey, Draymond, ball's in your court, man. Like, you can opt in, you can opt out. But if you're opting in, you're opting in to this is what it is. Jordan is a part of this team. He's the future. We are invested into him. We appreciate what you've done for us. Either you pick it the fuck up and we can talk about a real deal next year, and you know we'll take care of you for what you've done. So if you accept what you have, we'll do something, lock it up for good. Or you can go somewhere. Go somewhere else. Leave on your own. Leave on your own. There'll always be love here. You know, one day your number will be up there. Like, you know, it's a win for everybody. It's a win for everybody. You're actually giving us an opportunity to get better. And you can go somewhere, possibly make more money, live in a better city, or, well, not a better, well, San Francisco is kind of hell right now. But live, you know, where you pick where you want to live. We drafted you. Now you're a multimillionaire. You're an adult. Pick where you want to live. If it's still here, cool. Opt in. But understand what comes with that. But, yeah, anyway. Well, Mike Dunleavy, and I would like to believe that's what Bob Myers' approach would have been. I would like to believe that, but yeah, whatever. But Mike Dunleavy, he wants to put his imprint on this team rather quickly, and I guess he didn't have any real connection with Jordan Poole. Granted, he was in the front office, part of the staff and everything, but I guess he thought it made more sense to, well, the safe thing to do was to get rid of Jordan Poole. I think the smart thing would have been to make Draymond make a decision. Regardless, Jordan Poole did change. Jordan Poole did change. You could tell. Now, unfortunately, you can't tell how much of that is attributed to what took place between him and Draymond or him getting the new deal, because I'm pretty sure his new deal kicked in this season. No, it might have. I think it might kick in this upcoming season. Regardless, he had signed his deal. He knew that he was going to be making some serious money, and he's much younger, so he knows he's going to have the opportunity to cash in way more than Draymond ever has. So even if at the moment Draymond has more money than him, Jordan Poole's moving like a guy, like, nigga, like, Draymond, you a fucking peasant. Like, the dynamic has changed. Again, if you believe what was said. Now, obviously, everybody in the locker room says that, you know, Draymond was in the wrong. So I guess they're either saying it doesn't matter what Poole was saying, or Draymond was also saying things which aren't being said because I guess they didn't hit. I guess Jordan Poole was nice with his trash talk. Again, if you believe that. Jordan Poole did become a bit entitled,
which I mean, you could somewhat understand. I mean, it is problematic, but you can somewhat understand. You was a second round pick. You worked your ass off. You won a championship, secured a nice deal, $100 million deal. Like, yeah, I would feel, and I'm what, 23, 24 years old. Like he was scheduled to make, I think, just a hair less than Draymond, I think. And Draymond had, you see what Draymond had to do. And also he did play in a different NBA. Salary cap was a little different. It's gone up a bit since the two came into the league. So these guys do move. That's why they don't have the respect for the OGs. This is why like, none of the guys, like, granted, Charles Barkley does say some wild shit, but, like, they look at Charles Barkley like, nigga, like, you made $4 million a year, nigga. Like, what are you talking about? Like, get the fuck, like, nigga, I'd kill myself if I made $4 million a year. Fuck you talking about? I'd go to fucking Taiwan for $4 million a year. Yeah, the older generation guy. Like, Michael Jordan had to own a team just to still be in the conversation. Like, that's crazy if we're talking about money. But Jordan Poole, it wasn't going to work out. Also, getting rid of Jordan Poole, it could be a good thing to Klay because Klay never really bought into Jordan Poole's growth, which also could be another reason why it wasn't the best situation. Now, they could all be cordial and everything. Like, I'm not saying that it was an issue like that, but Klay definitely was more... He showed his emotions more anytime Jordan Poole took what he considered was a bad shot. And the thing is, some of them was bad shots. Some of them, I'm like, nah, like, they signed Jordan Poole to do that, Klay. Like, hey, Klay, like, it would be nice if you just did your job. But Klay's still living in the fucking past. That's the problem. So we got Draymond who swung on him. We got Klay who's frustrated. And knowing Draymond, like, because you assume that Draymond, Klay, and Steph, like, you know, that's the wolf pack. So... Knowing Draymond, he knows Klay's never going to swing on him, but he knows, like, they probably have conversations that he's not fucking with Poole. Poole's changed. Poole's doing this. Poole's doing that. So Draymond probably thought that he was, you know, doing that for the Wolfpack. Well, again, I understand why Poole needed to be moved, but I wish it would have went differently. Now, to actually Chris Paul, because, we couldn't do this. Like, if we're going to make this trade, you couldn't do this a week earlier to get Kristaps. Like, Kristaps would be fucking amazing in Golden State. Like, it would literally, like, solve so many fucking problems. Like, oh my God. Why? I don't understand why we're going to make a trade with the Wizards after they trade Kristaps. Oh, but they acquired Chris Paul. So, I hope, pray, and believe that Chris Paul is not going to be on this team when October comes. I think this is just, you know, they just needed to do something to, you know, get rid of Poole. I guess their objective was getting rid of Poole and the picks. This appears to be a salary cap move, unfortunately. Problem is, Chris Paul makes $30 million, which I'm pretty sure was more than Jordan Poole. So I guess the $3 million they're considering is, you know, it's worth not having the headache. This is where I say, Mike Dunleavy, do you not know? Are you not familiar with Chris Paul's track record, with his history? Now, it might not be all his fault, but trouble follows Chris Paul. This is like Donald Sterling shit. Again, I'm not saying that it's because of Chris Paul, but Donald Sterling shit, Robert Sarver shit. What other teams has he been on? What other teams he's been on? Trouble follows Chris Paul. And if trouble don't follow him, injuries follow him. Like, no. And then Chris Paul is 30 fucking 8. He's not LeBron James either. He's only effective if the game is played at a certain pace. Playing that pace is not, no. What are we, that's not what, that's not, I don't know. No, I don't understand what was Mike Dunleavy on those Clippers teams? No, he was older. He wasn't on those. Like, what the fuck? Chris Paul? That's why I believe there's no way he's going to be on the team. This is a move for another move. Somebody's doing something. Like, it makes absolutely no sense. Oh, well, he's going to be quarterback in the second unit and yeah. The fuck? I'd rather Ty Jerome do that shit. If we're not going to have Jordan Poole, you can get a guard in free agency to do that. Honestly, I would apparently they're talking about buying out Kyle Lowry. I would have rather had Kyle fucking Lowry. As a matter of fact, their contracts basically match up. Chris Paul for Kyle Lowry. Get it done. Miami plays that tempo anyway. It makes sense. It makes fucking sense now that I think about it. What the fuck? Make it. What are we doing? Chris Paul, go to Miami. No state tax. Make more money. Fuck your family. Bring your family to Miami. I don't give a fuck. Do what you need to do. You the man of the house, right? Like, if you want your... oh, man, it's hard being away from my family. The fuck? What type of shit is that? You're one of the top 20s, like top 20 contracts in the league. Probably top 10 contracts in the league. Nigga, if you... Tim Duncan had his wife on the team plane when he traveled to away games. Tim Duncan in San Antonio. You don't think you can bring your family on the fucking plane? Okay, fine. You don't want them on the plane. You can afford a private jet. You don't even got to pay for the jet. You can make them have it in the contract. I don't. That shit makes no fucking sense. Oh, but we don't want to interrupt the kids' lives. Oh, woe is me. I grew up the son of a multimillionaire. Whatever will I do? We have generational wealth. I literally don't need school. Just teach me not how to fucking blow it. Oh, that's it. That's all you gotta do. I don't understand that shit. Your family can be wherever the fuck you want them to be. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, we will move every fucking year if we need to. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
That's when you gotta control your household. That's when you gotta control your household.
I really hope that Chris Paul isn't on this team when the season starts. I really, really, really hope he's not on this team when the season starts. I don't see any good in going any direction.
Just thought about something. That was funny.
All right, now I want to briefly talk about Elon. So, apparently he banned cisgender on Twitter for it being, like, a slur or whatever. I guess he found it hate speech or whatever. Which, you know, I mean, I can understand because, you know, they said, oh, it's going to be free speech. But, you know, We live in a
time period where free speech it doesn't exist. I mean, I already talked about this. You have to, you know, repress yourself. Free speech doesn't really exist. And Elon is making it clear that, like, hey, like, you can say pretty much whatever you want to say as long as I'm okay with it. And you want to know something? If you own the shit, I'm okay with it.
Like, none of us read the terms and conditions. That's why I'm so terrified with that whole Black Mirror thing. None of us read that. We have no idea. Yeah, like, we don't.
So, anyway.
The argument that it's not a slur, for me, kind of goes out the window when it's used in an attempt to demean or shame someone, and that happens a lot on Twitter. That's how I found out what cisgender was. It was, like, 2018, 19, and, like, somebody, like, called me cis, C-I-S, and I thought they were, like, so that's why my Twitter, my Instagram, maybe my Twitter too was Black Supremacist for so long, because, you know, that's when I figured out what cisgender was. But it's quite literally the same shit that, like, they've been, like, the other side have been bitching about for years. Like, you can't tell me how being called that makes me feel. And we've been told your feelings mean so much. Do my feelings not matter? All feelings matter. All feelings matter. Is that like, is that all feelings matter? All feelings matter. Or is it just Black feelings matter? Or no, it's oppressed feelings matter. Feeling oppressed feelings mattered. Feeling oppressed feelings matter. That's what it is. Feeling oppressed feeling matters. That's the
time period we live in. But you got to understand the platform that you're on. If Elon was identified with some other things, then it would probably look and be much different. But this whole dance between all of this shit is actually leading to much, much, much worse things. So obviously, we're wrapping up Pride Month, and it's been rather quiet. Like, I haven't seen and heard much, but
at the same time, the small bits that I have seen and heard are very disturbing. Very disturbing. Like I believe it was somewhere in California. I think it was San Francisco. They're having a parade and they're chanting, "We're coming for your children." So, like, we're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. We're here, we're queer, we're coming for your children. What is that? What is that to you? What is that? And I believe it was in Seattle, I think, like at a water park or something. There was naked adults. Like, just naked adults roaming with kids and families. And I'm seeing that, and I'm like, at first, like, you know, on the surface, it's like, what are we doing here? What are we allowing here? But then again, these parents are bringing their children to this. I don't give a damn if this is my one day off. This is my opportunity to take the kids to the park. I've already spent my $200 or whatever on the tickets or whatever. Dog, what's more important? $200 for this fucking bullshit water park or whatever the fuck? Or, like, you know, the possible ramifications of what your kids are going to see, what your kids are going to experience, and hell, based off of what, I mean, maybe this is just a random set, you know, like, maybe this is just, like, a different version of the gang, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, here's the thing, like, the L's, the G's, the B's, the T's, the Q's, the I's, the A's, and all that shit, like, they kind of low-key all beefing, but they just under the same umbrella. Like, it's like the Bloods and Crips within that shit. Like, they're like, I know there's an organization, Get the L Out of Here, which is pretty much a group of lesbians saying, like, we don't want to be a part of that LGBTQ shit. Like, we lesbians, that's our thing. That's our bag. That's all we give a fuck about. Y'all do that shit. We don't agree with most of the shit y'all doing. So we just going, I fuck with that. Also, something that I just kind of thought about is, how could transgenders align, or better yet, how could lesbians and gays align with transgenders? Because you wouldn't be lesbian or gay and bi. Well, I guess you can be bi, but you wouldn't be lesbian or gay if you, I mean, if you change your gender. Technically, like, if we're going to accept that your transgender is your gender, then are you now a lesbian? I guess if you're going from male to female, but, like, are you still attracted to females, or are you now attracted to men? Were you attracted to men already? If that's the case, like, was it not enough to be gay? Like, you know what? I'm not trying to understand this shit. Not trying to understand this shit, dog. I just don't understand why parents have no problem bringing their children. Like, this is the society. This is, and a bunch of people where they haven't experienced it, they just say, oh, that's not happening. That's not real. It's not going on like that. These are just, you know, far right stories and blah and bullshit. Like, no, no, these things are happening. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not real. Just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't, like, that. Like, oh my God. That's like people getting mad whenever I say, I've never experienced racism. I've never said racism doesn't exist. I said I've never experienced racism from the race. Like, I've never experienced the racism that most of y'all niggas fear. I've experienced hell of the covert, I can't think of the right word. I guess the covert racism. I've experienced way plenty of that from people that y'all would consider good people and allies. Plenty of that. And if you anyway, I don't have any kids. I don't have kids. So, I mean, I don't have a dog in a fight, but I mean, I would like to think that people that do have kids that see these things that's going on, like, would want. Okay. I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand. I mean, you can continue to indulge in the everything is racist victimhood mindset at the expense of your children, or you can, not, I'll let you decide. I'll let you decide. This has been another episode of Politically Incorrect. Thank you for listening.